Hello, I'm Robert Washburn, and welcome to Consider This Northumberland, a current affairs program dedicated to the issues facing our community. We talk to the people on the front lines and those behind the scenes who make a difference in your life and Northumberland County. So I'm asking you, the listeners, to take some time out of your busy day to consider this. Today we are talking about our environment. In the first segment, we'll be getting an update about flooding conditions following a stretch of intense rain over the past 3 days. Then we'll be talking to a group who wants to raise awareness about the impacts of climate change in Port Hope. So let's get started. Earlier this week, the local conservation authorities warned residents about the threats of serious flooding. Within the Lower Trent region, which covers the east portion of Northumberland County, there were concerns as a possible 30 to 50 millimeters of rain were in the forecast, heightening the threat along the shores of Rice Lake and the Trent River system. Meanwhile, in the western portion of the county, the Ganaraska Region Conservation Authority warned that we were very close to 2017 water levels that caused so much damage. I have on the phone a man who is very, very busy these days. Mike Smith is the Water Resources Technician for the Ganaraska Region Conservation Authority, and he joins us by phone. Hello, Mike.
Hi, Rob. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for coming on, and I truly appreciate it because I know you're going crazy these days. Can you describe the current conditions within the Ganaraska watershed?
We're mainly concerned with the shorelines of Rice Lake and Lake Ontario right now. Water levels have been rising due to spring runoff, rainfall, and snowmelt, and they've reached critical levels, so we've issued a flood watch to warn residents about flooding along the shorelines.
Now, why is it that we don't see so much taking place then along the river systems and the creeks, that kind of thing?
The rivers and creeks in our watershed are fairly small in comparison to the much larger Trent River watershed and, of course, the Lake Ontario watershed, which includes the Upper Great Lakes. So the snow in our local watershed melted probably about 4 to 5 weeks ago, and it's already run off, and we've had high water levels, and they've subsided already.
So along the Lake Ontario water shoreline, where are we seeing the most serious situations?
Areas that are very low are susceptible to shoreline flooding around the mouths of rivers and creeks. That water from the lake backs up into these waterways, and sometimes there are homes down near the water. But shoreline erosion is probably our biggest concern right now. Every time we get a big wind event, it stirs up the lake and creates large waves that can come in. While the lake levels are high, these waves push further inland, and they cause erosion at the bluffs and beaches.
Now, could you be specific? You mentioned in general that we need to be watching the places where creeks and rivers enter into Lake Ontario, but are there specific creeks and rivers that you're keeping an eye on?
Absolutely. The mouth of the Ganaraska River in Port Hope has a marina around it with docks and roads and houses very close to the river there, so it's fairly flat down there, and if the water level comes up like it did in 2017, it's possible that we could have some issues with flooded basements down in that area.
Okay. Now, in terms of any of the creeks, how about Coburg Creek or how about even the Coburg Beach?
Coburg Beach was pretty flooded in 2017, and I don't think it's gotten up onto the beach yet, but it's getting very close, and these beaches are getting shorter as a result, and sometimes that causes erosion on the beaches, and we'll have to replenish that. The town will likely replenish that with sand from the river. Coburg Creek, sometimes there's erosion happening because of the high water levels and waves that come in from the lake, and we'll be keeping a close eye on those areas.
Now, what point do you make the decision around taking measures to prevent flooding? I mean, we've been watching pictures, for example, in New Brunswick and Quebec, up in the Muskoka region here in Ontario and the Ottawa Valley. We see people putting up sandbags and doing all kinds of things to stop the water from coming in. How close are we to that kind of a situation?
Fairly close, I guess. We have a few homes, not many, but a few homes are close enough to be at risk. And those people, those residents may want to start protecting their homes with sandbags. A lot of people take time in between these flood events to build up shoreline protections such as revetments or erosion protection like rocks on the shoreline.
Now, how do you reach out to a homeowner? If I'm a homeowner listening in today and I'm a little bit concerned, do you contact me? Do I contact you? How does that work?
We welcome calls. If homeowners want to call in and tell us about flooding, we can try and provide advice or give them a forecast of how it will play out over the next couple weeks. Other than that, we rely on the media to get out our flood messages, and we also send them out to school boards and local municipalities and emergency services.
Now, do you help supply sandbags and those kinds of things, or do people have to go somewhere else for that?
We can help direct them to suppliers of sandbags. Mm-hmm. I have a few hundred on hand that I can give out to residents if they want to come and pick them up. They are empty, and sand can be provided by the municipalities.
Okay, now, when you're going out and looking around the various areas where the flooding's taking place, what are you seeing in terms of shifts? I'm thinking now in terms of trees coming down, erosion, those kinds of things. What kind of damage are you seeing as you walk through and do your inspections?
Erosion is our biggest concern, like I mentioned before. Mm-hmm. Areas like the Sculthorpe Marsh Trail in Port Hope was quite heavily damaged in 2017, mm-hmm. and I've checked it out this year, and I would say it's not passable again.
Okay.
The erosion gets quite severe in low areas like that, and trees will fall into the lake on the beach, and that when that happens, there's less protection there for the trail.
Now, I know Monk's Cove was really hit hard the last time in 2017. How's that? Have you been over to check that?
I haven't been over to check it, but as far as I know, the town of Coburg has repaired it since then.
Yes.
So I will. That's another spot that's a concern.
Mm-hmm.
When it's built up like that, it's fairly well protected, but it is something that the town and the Conservation Authority would keep an eye on.
Now, how does this compare to 2017? I know in your press releases, the numbers were extraordinarily close in terms of the levels. Can you maybe describe what those were and how do we compare to then?
Yeah, absolutely. The levels are rising at a pretty good rate, and the reason this year is because the Ottawa River has been flooding at an unprecedented level. And the Ottawa River flows into the St. Lawrence River just above Montreal.
Mm-hmm.
So to prevent further flooding in Montreal and in downstream areas on the St. Lawrence, the International Great Lakes Commission, St. Lawrence River Board, people have had to cut back the flows going down the St. Lawrence to alleviate flooding in Montreal
mm-hmm.
and other communities. So the flows going out of Lake Ontario are lower than they have been, and that's causing the lake to rise. And so it's now at, or as of yesterday, it was 75.42 meters above sea level.
Mm-hmm.
And in 2017, it rose to 75.88. So we're still 46 centimeters below that level. However, it's projected to rise another 14 centimeters in the coming week. And with heavy rainfall, it could rise even more. Now, luckily, the forecast doesn't look that bad right now. But should that change and we get more of these heavy storms, it could rise to those levels that we saw in 2017. So we're keeping a close eye on that. The projected peak this year is on May 24th. They're expecting, or in around May 24th to May 31st, they're expecting it to be around 75.72 meters above sea level. So that's, again, very close to what we saw in 2017.
For someone who goes and stands down by the lake and looks across Lake Ontario, it's such a huge body of water.
Yep.
It's hard to get your head around. How can we not absorb this much rain? Like, why is it that it rises? Can you maybe explain some of the things that are going on? I mean, you talked a little bit about the St. Lawrence and the
yep.
dams there, but could you get into depth about that so we can understand better? Because
sure.
it just blows your mind.
Well, first of all, right now, all of the Great Lakes are higher than normal.
Mm-hmm.
Lake Erie is at a record level for this time of year. It's 2 centimeters higher than it's ever been. And Lake Erie feeds into Lake Ontario via the Niagara River. So the Niagara River has been flowing higher than normal for, well, probably since 2017 or a little bit before. And so with high inflows and then the rainfall that is collected in the watershed of Lake Ontario also flows into Lake Ontario, and those inflows have been higher this year than the outflows at times. So when the outflows are not matched, then the water levels rise in the lake. And like you said, it's a huge lake, so it takes time for it to draw down. And those inflows from the Niagara River are not really going down either, so it's going to take some time. And normally they can match the outflows at down the St. Lawrence River, but of course, like I said, with the flooding coming down the Ottawa River, that's caused them to balance the flows or balance the water levels downstream with upstream so that everyone sort of experiences the same rise and the same effects at the same time.
Now that we're seeing, I mean, it's only 2 years ago that we had this similar situation. Is there some concrete things that the Gunnarasca Conservation Authority can be doing to remediate any of this, or the municipalities or homeowners? I mean, what can be done, or is this going to be something that's going to become a regular event?
I don't expect this to be a regular event in the future, because they say with climate change we may actually see less precipitation and more evaporation. So we're expecting that the lakes may be lower in future years, and we may be dealing with low water levels. But right now that's not the case. Right now, to protect people's shorelines, we can issue permits for rebuilding shore protections. So people will build up rocky revetments and retaining walls that hold back their shoreline and protect against the damaging waves that come in. We also work with the municipalities on some projects like Monk's Cove, mm-hmm. and we want to protect the infrastructure around the municipalities.
Now, do you have a really wide or big toolbox to deal with these kinds of things, or is it really up to individual landowners and municipalities to take the steps?
It is mostly. We can only predict what's coming, or try to, and warn people that it's happening, and work with them, provide advice to help them with what they can do to protect their shorelines. But it's really up to the landowner. It's their shoreline. They have to put in the work or pay for the repairs themselves.
Okay. Now, earlier you mentioned climate change, and there's a lot of talk about climate change these days. You've talked a bit about the impact. Can you expand upon that and help us better understand how climate change is impacting this? Because if you ask anybody, I'm sure they would have said, oh, listen, all this rain, this is about climate change. And yet you said not quite the same thing. So can you explain all that?
Climate change is expected to bring more variability and more extreme events. Mm-hmm. So we may see these high rainfall events at times, but we'll also see more prolonged droughts. And when we get a drought, there's very little inflow to the lake other than what's coming down the Niagara River right now. So we expect that with long-term declines in precipitation amounts, although they're not going to be drastic, they will influence over the long term the levels of the Great Lakes.
Go ahead.
I was going to say there may be more snowfall sometimes and more evaporation from the lakes as well, which the evaporation brings the water levels down in the fall and winter. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we get extra snow from lake effect snow. And with climate change warming the air temperatures, we see less and less lake ice forming. And that leads to more lake effect snow in the early winter, especially downwind from Georgian Bay and Lake Huron.
Wow. Now, in terms of the amount of development that goes on in our area, as we build more houses, take up town boundaries, expand outward, and we start taking up the green space, mm-hmm. does that have an impact on our ability to manage the water flows as well?
It does to a certain extent. We're doing everything we can, of course, to keep people from building in floodplains. We have regulations around that. And we're also trying to manage stormwater in communities so that the post-development water situation is the same as pre-development. So that is runoff that comes off the land from a farm field or a forest and it enters a creek. After the development goes in, it should be pretty much similar. But sometimes that means that water quality is affected. Urban surfaces are notorious for pollutants that come off the surface from our cars and from our land uses. And so we expect that urbanization has a bigger impact on water quality, but it can also lead to heavier runoff in the summer when we get these intense thunderstorms that we're expecting to see with climate change. And also, there's less tree cover, so the snow won't stick around as long. It melts faster from the urban surfaces, and there's less groundwater infiltration in urban areas. So that's groundwater infiltration is feeding into the aquifers and replenishing the groundwater.
Mike, do you have a quick message you'd like to leave with residents in the Ganarasca watershed at this time?
Sure. As far as water levels on the lakes, Rice Lake, we're expecting it to peak very soon. The Trent system is starting to pass all the snowmelt and rainfall that's fallen in the last few weeks. So we expect Rice Lake is leveling off as we speak, basically, and should start to decline over the next week. Lake Ontario will take a little bit longer. Hopefully it's going to stay dry. The sunny weather this weekend should help both situations. And we hope that we start seeing declining water levels towards the end of May. If we get a lot more rain, then we want to be cautious and prepare for further high water levels and erosion.
I really appreciate your time, Mike. Thank you so much for coming in. I know you're incredibly busy, and we are so grateful that you talked to us today. Thank you.
No problem. Thank you very much.
We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll have Janet Noyes, Manager of Development Services and Water Resources for the Lower Trent Region Conservation Authority, on the line to tell us about East Northumberland. We'll be right back.
It's a show featuring music that's a little left of center, right of center, and most times right on the edge. It's Country Outlaws and Alternatives. Hi, this is your old pal Rusty, inviting you to join us each and every Monday night at 9, playing the music that many other station staff love, but just won't play. It's an hour of countrified music with soul and just the right amount of cool. It's Country Outlaws and Alternatives, Monday nights at 9, right here on Northumberland 89.7.
True Saffron produces some of the best saffron in the world. Our saffron is truly local, offering a spice that may not only let you shine in the kitchen, but is also the pride of our county. Featured as a secret ingredient at the Canadian Culinary Championships and savored at the Canadian Screen Awards. Get yours at Millstone Bread, Special Effects Decorating, Chasing the Cheese, Center and Main Chocolate Company, or at truesaffron.ca. True Saffron, a pinch of red, and you're golden.
Welcome back. I have on the line Janet Noyes, Manager of Development Services and Water Resources for the Lower Trent Region Conservation Authority, to talk to us about the flooding going on in Alnwick, Haldimand, Crammy, Trent Hills, and Brighton. Welcome, Janet.
Thanks, Rob. Thanks for having me on the show.
Can you describe the current conditions within East Northumberland?
Okay, sure. No problem. So I was listening to Mike. And he did a great description of what's going on in Lake Ontario right now. Part of East Northumberland also has the Trent River system going through it. And so Lower Trent currently has a flood warning out on the Trent River and a flood watch out for our portion of the Lake Ontario shoreline. So those are two issues we're dealing with at the same time right now.
Can you tell us the difference between a watch and a warning?
Yeah, so we try to follow Environment Canada's system, and we have a flood outlook statement, which is the lowest level of just a notification. And then we have a flood watch, where we're expecting some maybe lower-lying areas to be impacted. And then if we're expecting infrastructure impacts or up around the houses, then we will issue a flood warning.
Now, where in your area are we seeing the most serious situations?
The most impact we're seeing is in the Trent Hills area, along the section of, I would say there's two sections on the Trent River. So there's a section between Hastings and Healy Falls, mm-hmm. and that's kind of the upper Trent River area. And then we also have a section south of Campbellford that goes kind of from... down from Campbellford across to Glen Ross area. And we have a few flood damage areas in there. I do believe there's about a dozen houses that have been sandbagged at this point.
In that regard then, how much has the river risen in order to create that kind of situation?
Well, a lot of people like to compare to events that we've seen in kind of recent past. So the most recent kind of larger event that we've seen in the spring freshet conditions on the Trent River was 2014. Sections of the Trent River got up to what we call a 25-year flow or a 10-year flow in the different sections of the river. Right now, we're only seeing about an equivalent of about a 5-year event on the Trent River system now. So it's nothing, it's a little bit more than the average annual flooding, but not much more.
Now, when you are going along Lake Ontario, are there any areas along Lake Ontario? I know we've heard a lot in our area. How about down towards your area? Because I know
there's
not as many towns, but still lots of things happen.
Yeah. We've got a couple calls kind of a little bit further east along the Bay of Quinte, not necessarily in Northumberland County. We do know that there are areas in the Brighton area that will that could be impacted. They're pretty low, a section of Gosport in Brighton. And as Mike had mentioned, there's the flooding issue with increasing water levels, but I think a bigger concern for a lot of landowners is the erosion.
So could you describe what's happening in that area then?
Yeah, so in cases where you have a beach or a bluff, then the high water levels bring the water levels up, and then with wave action, you can actually get erosion on there. So in Presque Isle Bay in Brighton, where Gosport is located, and a few of the flood damage areas, they're fairly well protected from the waves, so it's more the high water that's a concern in those areas. But if you're out on the bigger Lake Ontario shoreline, the wave action and erosion are typically a concern more.
Now, how does all of this compare to 2017? I know that was a big year for, especially for Lake Ontario, but mm-hmm. comparatively, how are you seeing it this year?
Well, this year, right now, we're not near those levels. We do have daily communications with the International Lake Ontario St. Lawrence River Board, and they're a member of the IJ, the International Joint Commission, that operate the water management dams at Cornwall, which manages the outflows from Lake Ontario, and they update us every day on what's going on. And they also have forecasting models that predict, you know, where, you know, based on average, you know, rainfall conditions or wet rainfall conditions, where they're expecting the water levels to go. So we got an update this morning, and so they're predicting if average water level conditions stay, we're going to be in the range of 75.7 meters above sea level. So right now we're, Mike had said, we're about, what are we at right now? Let's see. We're at about 75.42, so that's a ways to go still, but, you know, the prediction is obviously for it to still keep going up. So how far up it goes is going to depend on the weather that we receive.
If I'm a homeowner, a landowner, or I own a cottage within the watershed, what should I be doing just to make sure that I'm going to be okay?
A good example is what happened in 2017 to you. I mean, if you're concerned about shoreline erosion, there are things you can do to protect your property from erosion. If it's, sometimes you have bluffs that are so high it's very challenging. And part of the Conservation Authority's role when we do our permitting is to make sure that any development is kept outside of the hazards, whether it's a flood hazard or an erosion hazard or a dynamic beach hazard. So that's for new development. The challenge is when you have existing development that's been there for years and they're in the hazard. So you want them to be able to protect their lands. And you can do different shoreline protection techniques. There's armor stone walls and revetments, those kind of things.
Now, what about safety in terms of people going near these high water creeks and rivers and the shoreline?
Yeah, stay away. bottom line, especially along like the river system, for sure, for the Trent River, you definitely want people to stay away from that. It is a fast-flowing river. We're well over 600 cubic meters a second going down the Trent River. Even in the flooded areas, there's current there as well up on the banks that have been impacted. As far as Lake Ontario goes, there's also different kinds. When you get into wave action, there are currents that are involved with that too. So just tell everybody to stay away from the water. It's the safest thing to do.
And is there any particular message you'd like residents within your watershed to know at this time?
We're trying to keep people informed. We're happy to answer any questions. I talk to people daily about the conditions. We try to keep information on our website for these kinds of things, and we will update our messaging as we get better information. And we're just trying to keep people safe.
Janet, I want to thank you so much for talking to us today. I know this is a very busy time for you, too, and we're so grateful that you took the time to talk to us.
Thanks so much.
There you have it. Some pretty serious conditions out there, and if you need more information, please go to the respective websites where you'll find up-to-date information about the conditions.